this morning, if you are a new person, there is a special desk in the foyer called our Ask Me desk. And you can take the opportunity to go there and find out anything about Church World, church life, if you're new today. Samantha Bayer, I'm not quite sure where you're hiding, but happy 18th birthday to Samantha. Give Samantha a big hand. Happy birthday, Samantha. Happy birthday to little baby Ariella also. And if you had a birthday this week, pat yourself on the back and wish yourself a happy birthday. Put a candle on the cake, blow it out, do all those special things. Are you good? Are you good? Why don't we? I know you're just sat, but I want you to stand because we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for Ukraine. Trent mentioned Ukraine and what's going on over there, and the impact of that into other countries in Europe. And it's a significant time right now in our world scene, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be praying. I mean, the impact that you're feeling right now is you're having to take out a personal loan to buy fuel. It's that's the impact we have. So I tell you, we don't have it very tough at all. We're paying a few more dollars for our fuel, but if you were in Ukraine right now, you'd be calling on the name of the Lord. If you're around in those surrounding countries that are also being affected and impacted, and the threat of what it is to our world is significant right now, very, very significant. We want to call on God to intervene. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand, we pray, we seek your face on behalf of Europe. Father, on behalf of the countries, particularly surrounding the Ukraine and Ukraine itself. And we're praying, Father, along with Christians all over the world, that you would intervene, that the heavens would open, that the heavens would interrupt, that the heavens would get involved. Our battle, your word says, is not against flesh and blood, but against spirit, principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. And that describes perfectly what this circumstance is all about. It's wickedness in high places. And we pray that you'd stop the wickedness, Lord, of the empire that's trying to take over Ukraine. Father, stop them. Just stop them is what we pray in Jesus' name. Push back the powers of darkness, and in a practical way, Father, Lord, just deal with Putin. Deal with him, Father, is what we pray. And all of his men, all of his boys that are making this happen, we just pray, stop them in their tracks. Protect people. Protect lives, Father. We see on TV the people, the elderly, the young, the children, Lord, trying to escape. And the suffering that they're under is unimaginable to us. And we pray for them. We stand with them. They're not alone. They're not alone. They're not alone today. And Father, we just pray, surround them with your presence. And may those that are with us be more than those that are against us. Yeah. In our world today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Keep praying, church. God bless you. Thank you. Why don't you take your seats? I want to welcome all those that are with us online today in our online community. Great to have you onboarding with us this morning. Lean in, get your Bible out, and enjoy what we're doing together this morning. Well, we've been on a journey for a little while now, a number of weeks. It kind of got a little bit disrupted when we had floods. When we had the floods, Cheryl and I were flooded in. We weren't flooded out, we were flooded in, which meant we couldn't get anywhere. It took me an hour and 45 to try and get to church so we could come and do an online service. And look, it just didn't work out. I went every which way possible, just couldn't get out at all. So rang up Pastor Darrell and Pastor Marichal at about, it would have been 8:40, 8:45, and said, guys, I'm not going to make it. Not going to make it, so it's in your hands. And what do you do when, you know, you're the campus pastor, as Pastor Marichal is, how do you respond? And, well, you've got to preach a sermon. And so she went and got my sermon, which was on my computer, and preached that and did an outstanding job filling that gap for me. That was outstanding. And then I just feel like I haven't preached for so long, because last week she preached again, another outstanding sermon. So here I am closing off this series together today called It Takes Two. It Takes It's our theme for 2022, along with Moving Life Forward. The thoughts kind of combine together that to move life forward, and particularly in a season or after a season of tremendous challenge, we all understand it takes more than just ourselves to move things forward. And it's going to take two or more to get things moving forward this year. It's a shout out and it's a call out to our church in terms of stepping up the level of partnering that we have together. It's a shout out to partner with us in terms of what we're doing to reach out to our community and be the church that God has called us and wants us to be. So we're calling out to everybody to really get on board and partner with us, which is a new level of church involvement. I mean, church involvement for some people is really just about attending. We want to step it up from that to really being partners with us in what we do. To be a gathered one, which is what you're doing now, what we're doing now. We're gathered together. We're gathered together for a purpose. We're gathered to meet with God. That's what this is all about, as Trent said. It takes two, as you and God. So we're here to promote God in your world and God in your life. But I'm also here to promote each other. We need each other. We need each other. We need the other people on the other side of the room, the people next to us, all the funny people, all the weird people, all the wonderful people. We need everybody to be on board and partnering together with who we are as a church. You know, church is much more than just a building or a group of people even that you get together with occasionally, be it once a week or once a month or for some once every 6 months. It's more than that. It's much more than that. Church for me has been so ingrained in who I am as a person because it was a culture that our family, my mum and dad, my brother and my sister were raised in, and our parents raised us in this culture of church. And it was never about just going to church. It always was a family we belonged to and a family we served in and a family we contributed towards in practical ways. In practical ways. My parents were extremely practical people, very spiritually practical. And I thank God for that because it's the residual of that in our lives is that we've grown to love the church, have a very real perspective of the church. We understand the church is not perfect because we're in it. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you right now. It's not perfect. I don't have an expectation for it to be perfect. Sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it's a bit messy. That's because we're working with people. And whenever you're working with people, there's always a little bit of ugliness around. There's always a bit of messiness around. That's okay. That's okay. You just clean up the stable and make sure that people are looked after. That's what we do. Church for us is a, when I say us, I mean for our church. Church for us is a community to belong to. It's a family to express yourself in. And the beautiful thing about family is you can be yourself. Like in my natural family, I can just be me. I'm not Pastor Tony to my family. I'm just Tony, or I'm Dad. My brother Michael and his wife Joanne are here this morning visiting from Maryborough because this was their home church. I love it every time I see Mike and Joe walk into the building, and you know, I greet everyone else with a kind of pastor greet when I greet people, you know what I mean, and you know, put the smile on and the handshake and all that kind of stuff. It's just what pastors are trained to do. But when I greet my brother, I greet my brother. Do you understand what I mean? When you're greeting family, and I want to greet everyone like family. I don't want to do the professional pastor thing and give you the twisted handshake, the power shake, and you know, be that or do that. I want us to be family and have a sense of community and a sense of belonging and a sense of value and a sense of acceptance. I think the greatest challenge in our busy, metropolitan, westernized church world is for us to build together significant, meaningful, lasting family relationships. I think that's one of our greatest challenges. In our natural world, keeping families together is one of our greatest challenges. It's also one of our greatest challenges in our spiritual world. And to do that, I think what helps is the subject that I'm going to talk about today, which is an extension of what Pastor Marichelle preached about last week, which is around the whole thought of community. And not just building community, but building robust community. robust community, to be robust family, so that you can do the journey with a sense of longevity. Not family where we have this expectation of people being perfect, of people always doing the right thing, but people being valued at our family table because God loves them and they love God. And they're a human being. And because they're a human being, they deserve our attention. They deserve our value. They deserve our gathering together. Last week during the sermon, I don't know whether you noticed these things, but I noticed these things because I look for these things. There was a moment when Pastor Marichal was preaching last week that was a step up. And when I say a step up, I call them power moments when I really feel God in the room. I don't know whether you're the kind of person that feels God in the room. Some people say, I just don't feel God. Well, I kind of do, where I sense that God just walked into a space and God walks into a moment. And there's a heightened awareness that God is on that thought. And it was when everybody was brought to stage, and there was a group of people that were brought to stage representing the community that Pastor Marichal was trying to highlight. And we had a bunch of people stand on stage behind Pastor Marichal. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed this about Pastor Marichal, but she's reasonably tiny. And so she was out the front standing up, and everybody else was behind her. And then over here was Esther with a bag, and the bag represented just the baggage of life, you know, just the junk of life that we all carry. And poor old Esther was over there by herself with this bag and with this baggage, and she was kind of on the stage, but she wasn't with the stage. She wasn't a part of the group and a part of the community and a part of the tribe. And then there was a moment when the hand was extended to her and she came over and she joined the group, she joined the family, she joined the tribe, she joined the church, and she joined that sense of community. And I really felt the weight of the room at that moment just move, just shift. It was a God moment when it visually, not just visually, but it very significantly pictured for us the fact of what happens when we have real community going on. So what is community? This is what it was defined as last week. It's a feeling of fellowship, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitude, interest, and goals. Key thoughts there are fellowship. It's a feeling of fellowship, and it's a common attitude of interest and also goals. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 18. In the Message Bible, I'm reading it from the Message Bible because I like the way the phrasing works. It says, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if. Now, when the Bible has an only if in it, you want to stop and make sure you read and understand what that only if refers to. It says, only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and with honor. The community that this verse is speaking about, that the Apostle Paul writes about, or James writes about rather, is a community that is strong, it's resilient, it's consistent, it's robust, it's true in every season. And he says you can have a healthy sense of robust community that lives right with God and right with each other only if you do the hard yards, only if you do the hard work. How many of you know people are hard work? Yeah. They are. People are hard work. People require the hard yards if you're going to build community with them. You know, there's a percentage of people, a very small percentage of people that you have a natural flow with. Yeah, you have a natural energy with them. And it's life is easy with those people because you get on so well. You just get each other. You understand each other. You have similarities of like and dislike and personality and preference. And you just have a natural flow. But then there's a whole lot of other people where it's hard work. And it requires us doing the hard yards to get along with them. That's what James is talking about. You can have robust community if you're prepared to do the hard yards. If you're just going to want to get along with the people you get along with, you're going to live a very lonely life. Because that percentage is very small. The bulk of people sit in the hard work component. I know I do. Do you sit in the hard work component? Yeah. Everyone's quiet on me right now. Let me do a little bit of self-reflection. I'm hard work. You ask anybody that works with me. My brother is shaking his head right there. He's agreeing right now. I'm hard work. I take some management. I take some caressing. I take some understanding. You've got to give me a little bit of space and a little bit of room or I'm going to rupture you. So I know that I'm hard work. And that's one of the keys. If you're hard work, you need to know your hard work. You need to know it. Maybe you need to have someone tell you, you know, you're hard work. You just are. You're hard to communicate to. You're hard to understand. You're hard to work out. And I get that. I've been that way a long time. A long time. So I understand that I am hard work. But here's the mirror. So are you. You're hard work. You're sometimes hard to communicate with and hard to get along with. And it's a bit of a shocker. Really? I thought I was so easygoing, so likable, so lovable. Well, we are if we do the hard work of breaking through the barriers that exist around our world. In the early church, they had barriers. They had to get over them. They had to break through. And the Bible talks about how God really enabled them to break through and get over these barriers when the Holy Spirit came, formed them together, and brought them together with a common sense of cause and attitude and goals and all the things that they wanted. Acts 2:42 says, all the believers, all of them, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they did this kind of thing. Not that I'm an apostle, but they did this kind of thing where the word of God was taught. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to gatherings, to getting together and doing church and being the church. And then they did this, and I want to highlight this. They devoted themselves to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. So what that meant was this. They'd invite people over for dinner, and then three quarters of the way through the night, they'd stop to remember Jesus, and they'd do what Trent led us in before. They'd share communion. Now, I don't know when the last time was that you did that, or whether you've never done that. But what a beautiful thing for a family to do, or an individual to do, or a couple to do with another couple or another individual, is to just stop in the moment of your meal and share the Lord's Supper, and to share communion and fellowship and some of the commonness that you have. That's what they did. They're sharing in meals. And so they had this great sense of generosity and hospitality that was flowing organically, naturally, within the fellowship, within the church. And they devoted themselves to prayer, the important dynamics of what it is to be a church. They worshiped together at the temple. They went there every day. They went to church every day. And they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And they shared meals with great joy and generosity. I want to be in that church. I want to be in that church. I want to be in the church where they have a table. I want to be in the church where they share in meals. I want to be in the church where they pray. I want to be in the church where they gather with a sense of cause and consistency and acceptance and inclusion and value. I want to be in that place. There's something attractive about that. And I'm not the only one that wants to be there, so do you. And not only you, on the day that this was written, in the culture and the city and the church this was written on, thousands of people wanted to be in it. Throngs of people wanted to be in it because tables were open, hearts were open, hands were open, and homes were opened. You know, if we're going to build robust community, we've got to approach our relationships with a sense of, I'm here to add value. Yeah. I'm here to add value. Do you know, you add value to my world, you make me very rich. Very rich. You add value to my world. I add value to your world. That's the way a body works. And the church is described as a body, pictured like that in the Bible, just like a human body. All the parts coming together, adding value to what we're trying to do. For us to develop robust community, we've got to add value. We've got to seek to add value, not just get value. It's about what we add, not what we get. It's about what we give to others, not what we receive. You're always going to receive a certain vibe. Do you know that vibe you get from people? It's either the vibe of inclusion or the vibe of exclusion. And the vibe is often connected to what you give. If you're giving off the vibe of exclusion, you will get that sense and that feeling of exclusion. If you're giving off the vibe of inclusion, you get that vibe of I'm feeling like I'm included, I'm feeling like I'm part of the family. So we need to be creating open and generous environments like the early church. We need to be creating a culture of caring and sharing like the early church. We need to be creating a culture of gathering and including like the early church, opening our hearts and opening our homes. I love one of the things I love about Facebook in terms of keeping a pastoral eye on what people in our church community post on social media is I just love seeing the photos of families getting together, individuals getting together, connect groups getting together, and young adults doing their thing, and just getting together and celebrating that, and the friendships and the fellowship that is acknowledged publicly in that way. It's a beautiful thing to see that. It's so attractive to have that kind of community going on. And so today I want to conclude this series by compelling us to understand that God's got a family for us to really find ourselves in, to find our fit and to find our place. And I want to talk about the four essentials as I see them of really building a thriving sense of community in God's family. And once again, my spelling is terrible because I'm trying to play on the thought of two. And so the first one is how to thrive in community in God's family is to share together. Share together. I can spell. I just like the shock impact of being totally inappropriate. So share together. Let's learn and build and have a culture of sharing together, because that's what family is all about. Family is a place of sharing together, where you commit to do life together, you have this bond with people, and you do the journey together with other people. There's an amazing sense of bond that is created when you share. When you share, you feel a connection. When you share, you feel a concern. When you share, you feel a commitment. Sharing is what develops love. It's what develops love within our human hearts towards other people. And so our concern and our connectivity is elevated when we share. And here's why. Because when you share, you're giving away a part of yourself. When you share, you're giving away a part of yourself. You're giving away time. You're giving away resource sometimes. You're giving food. You're giving energy. You're giving focus. You're giving attention for that group or for that person. And as Pastor Marichelle referenced last week, sharing is not something we do naturally. You've got to teach a child how to share. Every parent knows that. Teaching them how to share their toys and playtime. Sharing is not something that we are born instinctively to do. In actual fact, we're born instinctively to be selfish because of sin. To be selfish because of what sin did to our hearts. And yet sharing is something that is so divine, it's so godly, it's such an expression of the heart of God for us to be sharers. Acts 2:44 says, all the believers that met together in this early church, they met together in one place and they shared everything that they had. They shared everything that they had. We're seeing this now throughout Brisbane, Logan, Lismore, and places like that right now. When people's lives have been devastated, their homes have been washed away, all of their earthly belongings are just totally ruined, and the community is sharing resources, donating things, donating food, donating beds, donating cupboards, donating whatever people need, donating money en masse to help people, and people are rallying around in this moment to help people. And I just think that's the way the church should live, is with a sense of, I'm here, I'm a sharer. I'm here to share myself with other people. That's the kind of culture that the early church developed, a culture of sharing time together, sharing meals together, sharing everything that they had. And it was that environment that became a miracle working environment for God, because it became so attractive for the people that weren't involved in the sharing, that wanted to share and be a part of that culture. And they came and they were attracted and they were drawn to it, because sharing is attractive. The second essential for me in terms of learning to thrive in community is to belong together, to make an intentional choice that I am going to belong. I think this sense of belonging is key in whether it's a natural family, a natural friendship, a natural relationship, a natural partnership or association, but it's also key in a spiritual family. Having a sense that I belong here. You know, my sense of belonging has been so strong in the churches that I've been involved in that I still feel that sense of belonging with them, even though I'm no longer with them, even though I'm here. Like, my home church still has a special place in my heart because I spent so many years there, invested there, gave there, led there, and it's still very, very special to me. It was never just a place that I attended. The first church that I pastored, same deal. It holds a very special place. There's a residual still in my heart. Now, I love you more than I love any of them. Yeah. Just saying. But I still love them. Because that's what happens when you build real community with people, when you build robust community. And my call out for all of us is that we would find that kind of community right here. Right here for everyone. Now, I realize some people struggle with belonging. And I have lots of conversations with people about this all the time, about belonging in church world, in church life, or in other partnerships that they have. And my conclusion is this. Most often, the reason that people resonate with a sense of not belonging as opposed to a sense of belonging is often a personal issue. It's often a personal issue that revolves around a struggle with identity, a sense of identity, a lack of identity that people have about themselves, a lack of acceptance of who they are. So they find it very hard to belong to others because of the life issues they've either lived through or are living with. For some, it's their own personal need of constant validation. Constant validations for them. And it makes it very hard because of that constant need for them to be open and to be involved in a sense of community with other people. For some, it's the hurts and the disappointments of life. For others, it's always double guessing and can't be settled with a sense of belonging. Listen to what this verse says in Ephesians 2. It says this, "Now you who are not Jewish are not foreigners or strangers any longer, but you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family." Paul was writing to the Jews because they felt like they didn't belong. They had an identity crisis because of Jesus, and they couldn't see how they could belong to God's family because the ones that weren't Jews, they didn't belong to God's family. So all of the Gentiles felt like they couldn't be in church. They couldn't be around the church. And Paul writes to them and says, hey, just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you don't belong. He actually says, we all belong to God's family. I want to say to every person here today, it doesn't matter whether you come from Slacks Creek, whether you come from Woodridge, whether you come from Park Ridge, whether you come from Springwood, whether you come from Shayla Park, whether you come from Coomera, Upper Coomera, whether you come from Ipswich, whether you come from Collingwood Park, whether you come from the north side, the south side, the west side, the east side, whether you come from the city, whether you come from Mars, you belong. You belong. Turn to your neighbor and say, you belong. You belong. You belong. You belong. Don't allow the issues to stand in front of you. One of the things that I've had to call out, and I do call this out, it gets me into trouble every now and then for calling this stuff out on people, but it's kind of what, that's why my pay rate is what my pay rate is. So I call people out on certain things, and certainly during the pandemic I had to do that, call people out about their sense of belonging in the church family in terms of like they just disappeared. And yet they still thought this was their church, and they still talk like it was their church, but they just never came to church. And it's like, you know, I love God, but I just don't have time for church anymore. It's just, I'm focusing on other things. And I've had to call that out for what it is and get in the face of some people and talk to them about that, because, you know, that kind of attitude is very dangerous. That's sinking sand attitude for your faith. Sinking sand. I've had to ask people, how important is your faith to you? How important is your church to you? How important is the faith community that you belong to and you play a part in? How important is it to you? Because I'm pretty sure if you had a conversation with Jesus, he would tell you it's pretty important to him. He'd tell you it's pretty important to him. And I'm pretty sure if you took time to have a conversation with Jesus and asked him what he thought, he'd have some things to say about that. So I'm simply here representing Jesus today, is what I would say when I had this conversation with him. Don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm just kind of reflecting to you about the choices that you're making right now, because we are called to do this journey together and to belong together, not to have a spirit of complacency. Wherever you express complacency, that thing is going to die. It's going to die. If you're complacent about it, it's going to die. Like you, if you're complacent about your garden, well, your garden's going to look like what it looks like for a very good reason, because you're complacent about it. You don't look after it. You don't weed it. You don't pull out the weeds. You don't. Well, I poison mine, so I'm probably complacent. Anyone else in the room use Roundup? I get in trouble for using that all the time. Cheryl says, how come those little plants over there died? I don't know. Maybe a bit of Roundup blew on them. And complacency will kill everything in your life that it's attached to. And so don't allow the people around your world to be complacent. And don't be frightened of calling people out gently. I didn't do it arrogantly. I do it very skillfully, actually. I do it very skillfully to call people out of their sense of complacency, because there's a sense of connection that God wants us to have an understanding. Here in Romans 12, Paul talks about it, about us being the body. And he says this, in the same way, we who are many, but in Christ Jesus, we are all one body. So he's been talking about the human body, how we have a human body made up of many parts, and yet it's one body. Then he says, this is just like the church. And he says, each one is a part of that body, and each part belongs to all the other parts. And so it's like me, my hand saying to my body, I don't belong with you. Well, tough luck. You were born with me. You're connected with me. That's Tony's hand. Nobody else has that hand. Could be a hand model, I know. Nobody else has that foot? You wouldn't want them, believe you me. But that's my foot. That's connected to my body. It plays a part. It helps me to walk. Nobody else has this face. You said you're welcome to that. Nobody else has this face. This is my face. This is a unique face. Just saying. Tony's face. There are distinctive things that God has put in the body for the body to be beautiful. And in the church, it's the same way. No other church is like this church. We're unique. We're special. And you know what makes it unique and special? You do. Your face. Your hands. Your heart. Your connection. Your community, your investment, your contribution in being here. We're called to, thirdly, serve together. It's one of the ways that we thrive in community in God's family, is to serve together, is to get involved together. And you see that expressed every week here in our church when we're gathering, or in our connect groups, or wherever we are. There's people running around that serve you. They serve you. And they don't serve you because they're your servants or slaves. They serve you because they're part of the body. And they've found a place to be involved and to get on board and to make it happen. You see some of the public ones that do this on stage, and they're a public team that play our worship and our music, and we love what they do. There's others you see on the doors. There's others you see in the cafe, in the kitchen. There's people you don't see at the back that are our techies that are making it all happen, make us look good, and, you know, the lighting's soft so that this face looks good. And we have techies up in the dark room upstairs that are doing the mix for what happens online for our online community. We have kids, people that are leaders that are serving in our kids team upstairs. There's service teams that run around to make sure you're comfortable, that the air conditioning is just right, and that the hall is prepared and cleaned, and the restrooms are pleasant, and the mothers and parents room is nicely presented, and the chairs are all straight in the cafe because that's important to the senior pastor, and the tables and everything's in lines and nicely done. We have a whole bunch and a whole range of different teams that are involved here in our church, and it's that sense of coming together for a common cause that brings real strength and meaning into our community. Common interest and serving together is important in terms of developing community, having common goals and a shared sense of purpose. There was a psychologist that did a study on a group of boys that went away for a scout camp. And, I mean, you know what boys are like, young teenage boys, and they're out having a wild time at this scouting camp. There's a lot of fighting going on. There's a lot of one-man upmanship going on at this camp. And the psych is just studying all the behaviours of these normal teenage boys. And they had no sense of cohesion and working together with anything because all of them were just out to be big boys for the weekend and enjoy themselves. And there was no sense of common working together until they discovered that the food truck that had all the food on it for the camp was actually broken down at the bottom of the hill. The moment they heard that the food truck had broken down and they all wanted to eat, this is the common cause, they all wanted to eat, guess what they all did? They all rallied together to become one, to go down and rescue the truck so they could have some food to eat for their weekend. You know, the thing is this. Everybody, all of us, every single human being needs a sense of common goal and common unity and common purpose. That's what brings people together. You're seeing that play right out now in terms of the floods, where people that didn't even know people in their street, in their neighborhood, in their community are just pulling together, doing whatever needs to be done to get involved and help people get cleaned up and on their feet again. People from other towns are driving to other places. I heard on the news last night in terms of Lismore, people are saying everybody that's come to help us has come from another town. And that's for a very good reason, because everybody in Lismore was flooded. Yeah. The town was decimated. What do you do when that happens? What do you do? Well, you need others to get on board and come to the rescue. You know, I think that in church life, one of the things that really helps church have momentum and move forward is that sense of coming together to serve. And when we don't, what happens is there's a lot of bickering, like at the boys' camp, the scout camp. There's a lot of fighting. It goes on when people don't come together in common cause, because people just get distracted about what the real deal is here. And I want to invite, if you're not involved in a team, get on board. Get on board. Find a team to be involved in. You don't have to be someone that stands on stage. Most people don't want to be ones that want to stand on stage. And most of those on stage for our teams don't actually want to be on here. But they're on here because there's a certain gift on their life to be on here. That's why they're here. There is room and there is space for you to get involved as part of our teams, because you're part of our body. Paul writes in Ephesians to the Ephesian church, and he says the whole body depends on Christ, that's the church, it depends on Jesus, and all the parts of the body, that's each one of us, all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Hold the thought of being held, because we're going to get to it. All the parts are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. When we each do our work and hold our place and play our part, the body becomes strong. The body breaks down and becomes weak when it lives disconnected, disassociated, isolated, polarized, a sense of complacency. All of these things keep the body weak. We're stronger and we can fight together for our future and our families, for our faith and for our church, for our city and for our community when we do it with a sense of being together and holding together, which is my last point. How to thrive in community in God's family, serve together, and then, wait, hang on. That's supposed to say hold together. Everyone say hold.
Hold.
Hold together. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, the way God designed our bodies. No, we've done that. Oh, I'm all over the place. Here we go. This will do. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt. If one part, you know that. Like if you stub your little toe, particularly if you're a man, like that's just the worst thing ever. That's just like, you're just hurting all over. You get a splinter, paper cut. Oh, worst thing ever, paper cut. You feel the throbbing all over your body. Here he's saying if one part hurts, all the other parts are involved in the hurt and in healing also. It means we're all involved. And so he's speaking of the church. And he's saying if one part is hurting over here, then we all hurt and we're all part of the healing. We're all part of the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. Nothing like seeing a part of your body blessed. Yeah. Celebrate that. Don't envy it. Celebrate that. Cheer that on. We need to commit to building robust community. Because there's times in life, there's times in church life when life just doesn't work or church life just doesn't work. We've come out of a season from the pandemic where it just didn't matter what we did, it wouldn't work. And we had to find new ways and new methodologies and new approaches. And it's important to go through those moments knowing that other people are with you and people are holding with you. When life's not working, you need some people around your world that are going to encourage you and cheer you on when you're in that hard moment. It says in the Bible that when one cries, all cry. When one's glad, everybody's glad. We do it together and we share those moments together. So here's my closing thought and my closing encouragement for all of us about our partnership. Be in charge of high morale wherever you are. Be in charge of high morale wherever you are. Whatever team you're on, whether it's in church, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whatever partnerships you have in your world, take personal liability and responsibility to be in charge of high morale. Build others up, encourage each other constantly, inspire life for people. Inspire life for people. Add value to others wherever you go. Whether you're speaking to them on the phone, at a cafe, in a church service, before or after, in our hospitality time in our cafe, add courage to people. Add value to other people. Be enthusiastic. Don't drag your feet. Be enthusiastic. I watch for people that drag their feet. Like when they come into a space that I'm in, be it a workspace or a space that I'm doing some life together with them, and if they walk in dragging their feet, I'm going to be looking to stir that up. I'm going to be looking to get involved in that. Like, why the long face? Are you a horse? Why the long face? Come on. I know you've got life going on. I got life going on. Anyone else in the room got life going on? Yeah, we all got life going on. You got junk. I got junk. We got junk. We all get junk. Bit Oprah. You get a circumstance. You get a circumstance. You get a circumstance. You get a circumstance. Junk. Don't let the junk weigh heavy on you. You were not intended to be a burden bearer, a burden carrier. You're intended to give that away. That's what God does. He carries things. He carries us. He holds us together. He's like that ideal father in a family. The strength that a father is intended to bring to a family in the natural, and I know for many of us we don't have that, but the strength that a father particularly is to bring to a family, that's what God the Father brings to this family. He carries it. I love nothing more than coming and gathering with this family, standing right there in the worship and lifting my hands, and with everything I carry and everything around my world and the junk and the stuff that happens. And it happens to me like it happens to you. It happens to all of us. It happens to every one of us. To come here and just lift my hands and know, God, you're with me. What a great God you are. You have never failed me yet. You've been there in every season and every moment, every circumstance. He's here for you. Would you stand to your feet? He's here for you today. I want you to know that. He's here for you today. Here to help carry whatever you're trying to carry. Here to help you with that burden. And I have learned after decades of doing what I do that one of the greatest ways to really just move life forward and thrive in community is just to belong to the thing. Just to belong to it. Just to belong to it. I used to say to our team, don't ever worry about people that come to church that can't sing. Don't worry about people that are not singing. Because for some of them, they can't sing because there's nothing left in here. There's just nothing left. Don't worry about people when they don't lift their hands. Because some of them have done just everything they could to walk through that door. To walk through that door. Don't worry about the ones that are standing there crying. They're not crying because you're singing bad. They're crying because they're in an environment where God is doing something. And you don't have to put on a face and find clothes and put on an act and try and be what you're not in this place. This is safe. It's safe. God the Father is here to help us as His sons and daughters. And I got to tell you, I have no greater pleasure in life than helping my sons and daughters as a father. Helping them. And they're young adults and they should be developing in areas of life themselves and strength, and they are, but occasionally they just need help. Occasionally they just need their father or their mother to help them. That's what happens in family. And if you're in this family and you're strong, you're here for those that are struggling a bit. That's what you're here for. You're here to connect, engage, commit to building robust community. We're going to sing this song again, How Great Is Our God. While we sing it, I'd love for you to be able to lift your hands. But if you can't, you can just stand there. Because we're going to sing something over you right now. It's just going to be like a wave. Just a wave of God's presence over you. Let's sing together.